In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. On behalf of Canon Antoine and those of who are here at the Oratory, I want to welcome the visiting priests from the Institute of Christ the King, myself, Father Michael, and Father Bill Evans, who are here as priests of the Diocese of the Green Bay, and the Missionaries of the Word Sisters as well. This Mass for Corpus Christi ends with the solemn procession, and which will immediately follow the close of Mass. It's beautiful to be able to be with you here, in particular on a Thursday, and it's fitting that this feast, Corpus Christi, lands always on a Thursday. It's a reminder of that Last Supper, that Holy Thursday, when Jesus first gave us his very body and blood in the Eucharist for the very first time. And we hear in the Gospel today from John chapter 6. Now, in the entire Bible, John is my favorite book. And in the entire book of John, the chapter 6 is my favorite chapter. And we hear today in this gospel my favorite verse in the entire Bible. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will remain with him on the last day. Now, Jesus gives this in the context of one Passover meal. Several years before he was to eat the Last Supper, another Passover meal. And so we see in the Gospels many different times where Jesus is either giving instructions around meals or has significant meals or does something significant with food. I mean, think of some of Jesus's miracles, his very first miracle, turning water into wine, or another miracle in that John chapter 6, at the very beginning, Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fishes, feeding the 5,000 men plus the women and the children who were there as well. Reminds me a little bit of what Cardinal Dolan likes to say. His favorite verse of the Bible is, does anyone have anything here to eat? Which Jesus asks after the resurrection. And Jesus does have many different times where he is providing food or teaching around meals and even having many different miracles with food as well. But in the instruction that we hear today from our Blessed Lord about the food that he's going to give us, this true food, he refers not to the original Passover, where Moses led his people out of slavery in Egypt into the desert so that they could go and worship God in the way that God asked to be worshiped. He referred to Moses, but in a different way, right? He says that the food that I'm going to give is different from the food that your fathers gave, manna. Now, where does that story of manna come? The manna is the miraculous bread that came down from heaven for 40 years as Moses was leading his people in the wilderness, in the desert. And so this miraculous bread from heaven is, we see a number of different things that are going on here. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they go to prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." And so the Lord wants his people to be fed. He knows there'll be no food. He also wants them to respect the Sabbath day. And so he says, for 6 days of the week, they have the opportunity to collect the food just for one day and then twice as much on the last day, so that they can, on that seventh day, they can rest and not have to do the work. And so when Moses led the Israelites out into the desert each morning, they saw that after the sun had risen, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, and it is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And this bread is suggested to have been from supernatural origin, because for 6 days of the week, it never lasted for more than a day. If they collected more than they needed for one day, it would rot and go bad, except on the day before the Sabbath, when they would have enough for 2 days. and this had never happened before. And it immediately started as the Israelites were in the desert, and immediately stopped as Joshua was leading the Israelites into the Holy Land. And even the Hebrew word manna comes from mahu, which literally means, what is it? And so there's this question of where this comes from. It's not something that's provided naturally. It's not something that was ever seen before. And God gave special instructions for what to do with it. To eat it, yes, but also to preserve 1 liter, 1 omer of this bread from heaven, and to place it first in the tabernacle that they had, which was a portable tent or temple in which the Israelites worshipped God. God commanded Moses, this is what the Lord says, let 1 omer, or about 1 liter, of manna be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. That they may see it. The manna that the Israelites ate fed them. But God instructed this bread to be put into the tabernacle so that they would be able to see it. Eventually, that same manna would end up in the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence among his people, alongside of the priestly staff of Aaron and the Ten Commandments as well. What I find fascinating, though, is another connection from this miraculous food, this bread come down from heaven, to John chapter 6. See, what happened that the manna began? If we go back to the Israelites, shortly after they are freed from slavery in Egypt, they're thinking about the food that they had to eat back when they were in slavery. And they started to grumble. They started to murmur against Moses because we had leeks and cucumbers and all of these wonderful foods to eat while we were in slavery. They began to murmur and grumble. And if you read through John chapter 6 in this beautiful Bread of Life discourse, the Jewish people begin to murmur and grumble at Jesus. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? How can this man give us his blood to drink? And Jesus doubles down. As they start to murmur, as they start to grumble, that's when he gets to the verses that we just read today, where he talks about Moses and the fathers giving bread from heaven, and he himself will give us his flesh. Actually, I think it's 5 different times in a matter of a couple of different verses. He says, flesh, 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 flesh. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. And so as Jesus is instructing us in the context of one Passover meal in John chapter 6 about the final Passover meal that he will celebrate at the Last Supper, he refers back to Moses and the manna, this miraculous bread that comes down from heaven. And Jesus invites us today to be able to receive that very same flesh. No longer bread that we eat and die, but bread that we eat that becomes his very true flesh and blood that leads us to eternal life. And he invites us, for those who are able, to this incredible gift every single day. We pray in the Pater Noster, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, commonly, give us this day our daily bread. But if we read a translation of Luke's version of the gospel, we hear, give us each day our daily bread. And if we go to Jerome's translation of the Vulgate into Latin, we find originally a word in Greek translated into Latin in a different way. This word daily, right? Give us this day our daily bread. This word daily, as it was originally written in Greek, is epiousia. And never before has this word appeared in Greek literature. When it appears in the Gospels, is the very first time that we see this in Greek. And so there have been some difficulties or struggles translating it, and we don't exactly know what would be the appropriate way to translate it. But when Jerome translated it into Latin, he used epi as the translation that we would say in English as super, and ousia as substance or nature. Supersubstantial, supernatural. And so we can hear then, give us each day this supernatural bread. This bread that came down from heaven, the bread of angels, of which Jesus instructs us in no uncertain words, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I will raise him on the last day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.